Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The President's Commission on Combating Drug Addiction and the Opioid Crisis issued a preliminary report this week calling for action to address the opioid crisis in this country. The report states that with approximately 142 Americans dying every day, America is enduring a death toll equal to September 11th every 3 weeks, and that drug overdose rate has been climbing year after year. Joining us now is Chuck Rosenberg, who's acting administrator of the Drug Enforcement Administration. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Jeremy. Pleasure to be with you.
And what's your biggest priority right now?
Biggest priority, simply stated, is the fact that 60,000 Americans died last year from a drug overdose. That's an astonishing number, and we have to do something about it, and we have to do something about it fast.
What is that something?
Well, there's a bunch of somethings, really. At the highest level, we have to interdict. We are the premier narcotics enforcement agency in the world, and we have to stop violent street gangs and the cartels that supply them from bringing this poison into the country. But the other something, and this is incredibly important too, is we have to reduce demand for drugs in the United States.
How do you do that, though? I mean, it seems like it would be easier to reduce supply than demand.
Well, it's not necessarily easy to reduce either, but there are a couple ways that we think about it. For instance, we know that 4 out of 5 new heroin users started on prescription pills, and we know that there's a huge prescription pill problem in this country. So we have to be smarter about how we prescribe, what we take, what we put in our bodies. But also we have to clean out our medicine cabinets. The DEA runs a national take-back program 2 times a year where folks anonymously and safely can drop stuff off with us, no questions asked, and we incinerate it. If we can get pills out of people's homes, we can break that causal connection between pills and heroin.
Where do you think the problem begins? I mean, for a lot of people, what ends up happening is they get prescribed painkillers for something totally legitimate and then have that feeling and later become addicted to opioids and eventually, potentially, end up dying from an overdose.
Well, that's exactly right, Jeremy. So we have to change the culture. And I've said this many times publicly, we're not going to enforce or prosecute or incarcerate our way out of this problem. Changing the culture means talking about this stuff, treating addiction as a public health crisis, but also changing behavior. And again, both prescribing behavior and consuming behavior. We have to start with kids. We have to talk to them all the time. You know, we've changed the culture in the United States with respect to seatbelt use. We've changed the culture in the United States with respect to smoking. We could do it here too. It's just very, very hard.
Is there an alternative, though, for people who need pain medication when they have an operation or something like that? I mean, is there something else doctors could be doing in the first place than prescribing these things that people later get addicted to?
Well, there's a couple of things they can do. They can prescribe lower doses. They can prescribe less, meaning rather than coming home with 30 opioid painkillers, you come home with 5. Or there are non-narcotic pain treatments. So there are plenty of options out there.
I noticed also in a report from the DEA from last year that one of the things that you're finding is that there are counterfeit Xanax pills or counterfeit oxycodone pills that end up having this very deadly substance, fentanyl, in them. How big of a problem is that at this point that people don't even know they're taking this?
Fentanyl is a big, growing, and terrifying problem. And you're absolutely right, Jeremy. Folks don't know. It might even be the case that the low-level suppliers don't know what's in the stuff that they're peddling on the streets. And here's the math. Heroin times roughly 50 in terms of potency equals fentanyl. And fentanyl times roughly 100 equals carfentanyl. Fentanyl is not the worst of it. As bad as it is, fentanyl is not the worst of it. We're seeing even more powerful and deadly substances on our streets. And you're right. People do not know what they're putting in their bodies.
And is that a supply issue or a demand issue? I mean, why are we getting these more powerful drugs?
Well, it's both. From a supply perspective, it's cheaper, easier, and quicker than heroin. You don't have to cultivate it or harvest it. You just make it in a lab and cut it into your product. From a demand perspective, it's also cheaper, easier, and quicker. Folks don't know what they're getting, but if they build up, let's say, a tolerance to heroin or to another opioid, and something comes along that's more powerful, more potent, it's a better high. That's what we call chasing the dragon, and that's why so many people end up dead.
We recently spoke with Ambassador Bill Brownfield, who's the Assistant Secretary in the State Department's Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement, and he said one of the most difficult and frightening things about fentanyl is that you can send a lot of it just in an envelope, that and then that can be mixed in with other drugs. Is the way that fentanyl gets to the United States part of the problem?
It is, Jeremy. It gets here primarily in two ways. First, in larger quantities from China to Mexico, and then north across the border through traditional drug trafficking routes. Second, and I don't recommend this, folks can order it easily off the dark web. You can sit down at your computer and in a couple of keystrokes, find any number of illegal sites, and order it up and have it delivered through the U.S. Postal Service to your home. Those would be smaller quantities, but remember, fentanyl can be deadly even to the touch at the 2 milligram level. And so very, very small amounts of this stuff can kill you. And I worry about it all the time.
And whose responsibility is it to check what's going through the mail like that? Is that the DEA's or is that the Postal Service?
Well, a lot of folks have some piece of that. Primarily, it would be Customs and Border Patrol or the Postal Service. But remember, the Postal Service is not the only carrier. There are private commercial carriers as well. And you're talking about hundreds of thousands of packages a day. So the notion that we could figure out which ones had fentanyl and stop all of them is fanciful.
How has the number of states legalizing marijuana changed things for the DEA when it comes to marijuana trafficking in this country?
Well, in some ways it hasn't changed things very much because federal law remains the same. What I've told our special agents in charge around the country is really quite simple. I want them to focus on and mitigate the biggest threats in their jurisdictions. Now, typically, that's going to be opioids and heroin and fentanyl and the other synthetics that are killing people. If it's marijuana, then federal law, of course, still permits us to enforce those laws. But more typically, it's not. It's those other things that I mentioned.
So prioritize what's most dangerous. But there are some people who think the federal government shouldn't even be thinking about marijuana at all, that that is diverting attention away from the really serious drugs, and that marijuana, they believe, is not harmful in any way. It's not hurting anyone. And it's, you know, no worse than alcohol.
Well, some people think lots of different things, Jeremy. The Food and Drug Administration is responsible for making a scientific and medical determination about the efficacy of, among many other things, marijuana as a medicine. And their conclusion over and over and over after decades of study is that it's simply not a medicine and it's not good for you. And we are bound by their scientific and medical determination. That said, Jeremy, I go back to what I have told our special agents in charge. Focus on the most significant threats in your jurisdiction, the violent crime that attends the trafficking of drugs, and the number of folks dying from heroin, fentanyl, and other opioids. That's where we focus our time and energy.
So how will we know if the DEA and other agencies have been successful in combating the opioid crisis a year from now? Because if you look at the statistics, as you know, year over year, there are more and more people dying from opioid overdoses every single year, even despite all of the attention that's been put into this.
Well, there are a couple of hopeful signs on the horizon, Jeremy. One is that we see more and more prescribers and physicians using the prescription drug monitoring program. In other words, being more careful about what they prescribe and to whom they prescribe. And second, we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years a decrease in the number of opioids that are being prescribed by physicians. And so if I'm right that there's a causative and correlative relationship between opioids and heroin and addiction and death, and the amount of prescriptions are going down, then maybe over time we'll see some good news on that end. I'm hopeful.
Do you think that it's going to make a difference if the president does declare a state of emergency about this epidemic, as the Commission on the Opioid Crisis has asked him to do?
I haven't read the commission's report, so it's hard for me to say.
That's Chuck Rosenberg, who is the acting administrator of the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And by the way, Chuck Rosenberg was in the news yesterday for writing a memo to DEA staff in response to President Trump's recent comments that law enforcement officers shouldn't be too nice to suspects when they're arrested. In the memo, Rosenberg stated that the DEA agents should always act honorably and maintain the very highest standards in their treatment of suspects. We asked him about that. He told us he said everything he wanted to say in the memo and did not want to comment further.